The boys did an emergency podcast without me last night. It hurt. That was
Casanova over here. He couldn't make it.
when I was first starting on air, I used to stress to our old boss, "Yo, we gotta do these."
Yeah,
actually, our old podcast boss. This is what's so crazy. Our old podcast boss, I'd be like, "We need to get our podcast out when the news story happens." And they'd be like, "No, we need evergreen podcasts." And I'd be like, "Yeah, that's not really what they are."
He was like, "More drops."
He's like, "Trust me, we'll wait 2 days and we'll get this podcast out."
Two people in the world just got the joke.
I know, but it's funny. It was funny. Trust me. Hey, everybody listen. What Sammy said was bang on funny. And finally, like, Ennis and I started doing emergency pods.
I remember that.
Right? And we'd be like, we're doing this. And nobody cared at all. And now, the one time in the whole dead of summer.
I know.
Where I'm actually doing something and I'm out.
I know.
And the Austin Matthews, ping, 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 ping. All of a sudden, my phone is going bananas. And everyone's losing their mind. But here's the positive spin, okay?
Mm-hmm.
This gets to be... I'm back as a radio guy, okay? I'm not a podcast guy. The radio bunk is all the way back, okay? Yeah. Y'all in the car?
Gonna wait till 9 a.m., baby.
You wait. You waited and you waited, and now is the time that you get live. And there's no editing. There's no, maybe I'll go back and change. Nope.
No.
Pure. You know what else?
Mm.
I was also a pure radio guy because I basically lived in the era of no social media. I was out. I was having a time. I was on my phone scrolling. I wasn't reading everybody else's opinions. I wasn't seeing everybody else basically celebrate Austin Matthews. I opened up my phone this morning because I saw the Austin Matthews tweet because that's what he released and people were sending me screenshots and, you know, tweets of that.
Mm-hmm. Me with a question mark, pod?
Yeah. And I went, damn.
Hot date?
Yeah. I went, damn. So I get back, this morning, I'm kind of looking, I'm kind of scrolling. I saw maybe one or two tweets, and a lot of them were about, hey, Matthews made a savvy business decision. I was like looking at a couple of the articles, and I was like, savvy business decision. And I would like to say this. Am I happy that Austin Matthews is remaining a Toronto Maple Leaf? Yes. Is this pretty well in line with what I thought it was going to be? For sure. Why am I supposed to love this exactly? Like, what about this?
You don't have to.
Because I don't. And this is funny because I said this the first time Matthews signed. I hate the term. I don't understand why the term is so short. And this time it's the same thing. I thought that Leafs fans would be really happy if it was 5. And I never really thought 3 was realistic. 3 would have been, come on, crazy banana land.
Slap in the face.
Yeah. And so to me, Matthews kind of ended up with a contract that is just genuinely perfect for him. Where it's 4 years, so people don't get the full fear of the 3, and they say, he kind of likes us. It takes him till he's 30, and then we'll reevaluate. And he took an amount of money that, by the way, is a bigger percentage of the cap than Nathan MacKinnon got.
Yeah, it's the only other person that's higher is McDavid.
Bigger percentage of the cap than MacKinnon got at half the term.
Yeah.
Why am I don't, okay, good for Austin Matthews, man. Got nothing against the guy. Seems like a good dude. Likes the same... Likes Bieber like I do. Likes the Toronto Maple Leafs like I do.
Likes fashion.
Likes fashion like I do. Yeah. No hate. Like Matthews.
Uh-huh.
Why am I, if I'm a Toronto Maple Leafs fan or somebody in my position who cares primarily about the health of the Toronto Maple Leafs and their fan base, thrilled that in a league where just about every superstar signs for 8 years now, 7, 8 years now, Matthews is signing for half of it. And that in a couple of years, we're basically going to be back in this position. Like, this thing's going to evaporate immediately. Remember when Kipper was taking stones for a couple of takes he had throughout the year where he went, hey, Matthews might consider leaving if things go awry? And all. Yeah. How fast do you think that's going to kick up if the Leafs miss the next 2 years in the playoffs?
Yeah, probably pretty quick.
Yeah.
And I think the most frustrating part for fans is looking around the league like you alluded to there. And I've been banging on this drum all summer when we've been doing shows. I've been talking about this all summer. It's that every Leaf fan looks around the league and says, why don't we get our guy for 8 years?
Why are we so different?
Why are we the ones where the guys that play here have to reinvent the wheel and turn these into NBA contracts? Why do they have to middle it so they can be the richest guy ever?
I know.
That's what drives me That's what drives a lot of my Leaf fan brethren insane. Like, I know you have a lot of Leaf fans in your life. I have a ton. And I wouldn't say that the message from a lot of them yesterday was overly positive.
That's it.
They're clearly happy to have Austin Matthews. And I think you can take a little bit of a victory lap if you're a Leaf fan because of all the people that said that there's no way he'll re-up after this contract.
Yeah, but those people were dumb.
But I should hope he re-ups.
Yeah, no kidding.
He just got the highest AAV in literal NHL history. It's an old league.
Yeah.
And he got it for 4 years to middle it so he can get paid again at age 30.
Which he will.
Of course, I should hope he would sign that contract. Yeah. If he's not going to sign that baby, then we got real problems.
That's what I don't get. And I read our boy Luke Fox today.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I don't know if it was Luke or Jonas, but I was reading one of the articles this morning.
Big difference.
Well, I was like, yeah, I know, but those are the only two guys I read.
Yeah,
I took a peek at both of those things, and I texted a couple of people trying to get some feelers about some stuff.
Okay.
You know, I put the tentacles out to just try to be like, hey, is there anything here that I'm missing?
Yeah.
Is there anything here? And basically, I got from one of those two articles and from one other person that the Leafs wanted eight.
Yeah.
They wanted the eight. And then they compromised. And I went, wait.
That's a big old compromise.
I was like, what was the compromise? He was starting at zero? He didn't want to do it at all? Like, how is this a compromise?
Trade request? Was that the other thing? Like,
I don't get it. I just don't get it. And here's my thing is I'm curious to see if the Matthews contract is going to be the start of a player empowerment era around the rest of hockey. I wonder if this shifts things now for the guys that are coming up behind him. Like, if you're the next generation of player, are you going to start to bet on yourself a little bit more like Austin Matthews? If you are, let's just say, within his stratosphere of player. I'm not talking about, like, and no offense, I'm just picking out a random all-star-ish guy. Like, if you're Clayton Keller, you're taking the big old bag of money, right? You're a good player, you're a solid player, you're an all-star caliber player, but you're not one of the game's greatest 10 guys, and you're never going to be. So you take the huge bag of money, you take the guarantee, you roll that over the next couple of seasons. But even just sort of looking at this past offseason with what Tyler Bertuzzi did, no, he's just trying to kick the can down or kick the can down the line to be able to hit the higher free agency number. But whether this is going to be something players do, because I don't know why, I don't understand the leverage the Leafs had with Austin Matthews. They had none.
Yeah, zero. So I don't like
other than this, which was, hey man, William Nylander's. There's reports, anyways, that Nylander might take less if other guys take less. Yeah. And
you watched that interview?
Well, yeah, I'm going to talk about it.
I think that's the reason we got a contract yesterday because he's like, "What's the rush?
What's the rush?"
Like, okay, here's an extension, Matthews. We're not dealing with this anymore.
I have very fiery thoughts about the William.
I did 25 minutes on it yesterday where I got a pee-pee whack after. So.
You got pee-pee whack?
Yeah, I did.
I'm going to get pee-pee whack for that too.
Okay, good.
I'm going to get pee-pee whack for the thoughts I have on the William Nylander.
Yes, I did.
Yeah.
Favreau's like, it's been a while. Sammy, it's time for a little whack.
Yeah, you got a little whack?
Yeah, I did.
He took out the stick?
He did.
He took out the stick and he was like, bad boy.
Yeah, bad boy.
Hey, you're a bad little boy. So I'm dumbfounded because it just seems all I've seen is this. When I looked around, all I've seen is this. He's actually not that well paid if you compare him to the NBA and NFL leagues that are much bigger than the NHL. I'm like,
Does Matthews play in the NBA?
I was going to say, you know who he's probably really paid well compared to? Guys who play hurling in Ireland. They probably look at the Matthews deal, say, that's pretty sweet. It's a pretty sweet deal. All I'm saying is, I thought a lot of this offseason for Matthews was going to come down to, hey, man, how are you going to show your commitment to the Toronto Maple Leafs? Were you going to show it to them with some more term, or are you going to show it to them with a little bit of a capitulation on the cap number?
Mm-hmm.
And he took a higher cap percentage than Nathan MacKinnon, and he took half as many years. I'm thrilled the guy's back. I think it extends the window for the Leafs by another 4 years, which is phenomenal. And I'm including this one because the final year of Matthews' deal at this point, when he's going to be 29, turning 30, we're back into the who
Same
knows Atlanta. It's so far away. Nobody's under contract. Who knows what the hell that's going to be. But you've got 4 years now of window with Matthews, which you're feeling pretty comfortable with. Yeah. Overall, it's a win. What is it? Comparison is the thief of joy. I'm normally someone that says, hey, stop looking at other people's Instagram accounts and looking at their best parts of their lives and comparing it to yours, right? Stop comparing your salary to somebody else's. Stop comparing your things or, you know, whatever. Just focus on sort of what you have. And so to an extent, I look at myself and say, if you're a Leafs fan, you should focus on the fact that you do have Austin Matthews. But this is how these guys build these contracts out. is they compare themselves to the game's great stars. Mm-hmm. And I continue to remain at a loss as to why the Maple Leafs are so different. They were different with RFA. We were told, oh, don't worry. Everyone's going to be like Mitch Marner.
Yeah.
And then Mikko Rantanen signed for less and longer.
Point.
Yeah, it was the exact same thing. And they went, well, he's in Tampa Bay. Yeah. And I was like, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
But that does matter, the Tampa Bay thing. Anyway.
Sure. Yeah. And then just to see Matthews do the 4 years and to still get the cap percentage that was higher than McKinnon's, I went, all right, I guess the small victory was he signed for, what, 13.25? And some people thought it could be 13.50. He left, you know, $250,000 right. a year on the table. I went, all right.
What a steal.
I just went, if I'm William Nylander or if I'm Mitch Marner and I'm looking at the next contract that I want with this team, I'm falling in behind Matthews. And he did something unprecedented. So why am I going to be the one that sacrifices? And this continues to be the thing down the line. Anyways, Frank Saravelli of the Daily Faceoff, my guy, joins me now. What's up, brother? How are we doing? Long time no speak.
I know. I'm good. Come out of the woodwork yeah. with an Austin Matthews signing. Yeah. You make a really compelling argument.
Oh, I see why you like Frank.
Well, I was going to say, this is like the first time Frank has said that to me. Normally, Frank comes on and he's like, listen, you dumb Canadian idiot. I disagree with everything you just said. Okay, so Frank, maybe help me walk through this. Why are the Leafs so different than everybody else? Why is it us? Why is it here?
Great question.
It is a great question, and I would say, really, this is just a bridge off of the precedent that was set under Kyle Dubas.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at where the Leafs are right now and the contract that was just signed, the interesting thing about it is by cap percentage, based on what the cap will be, since we know what that is, it's a formula, $87.5 million next season, Austin Matthews didn't really get a raise. By percentage of cap, like you could look at it and say, yeah, 11.6 to 13.25. Yes, it's a raise, but by virtue of cap percentage, it's really not. And he really took more or less the same percentage of cap and is now just extending that out 4 more years. So a total of five more years of Austin Matthews. But why, to bring that in perspective and full circle of team roster construction, why is that percentage higher than most? And why are the other star players on the Leafs roster, Marner, Tavares is a bit of a different story because yeah. he was a UFA.
Yeah, it's different.
And then now Nylander, their percentages are all higher than everyone else. And this is sort of an extension of that precedent. Now, the next question is, what happens when Marner it's time to sign? Mm-hmm. Is he going to try and get the same sort of extension, or is he looking for even more than that? Nylander has to get a raise because his numbers dictate that he certainly will. Mm-hmm. And the Leafs didn't have a lot of leverage here, but I think all things considered, when you view this contract versus what it could have been based on the precedent that was set, in some ways I kind of view this as a win-win for both sides.
I love that, though. That's actually one of my favorite things about it, is like people go, he could have signed for three and asked for more. And I went, oh, great. That's great. That's the win for the Maple Leafs. I would say this, if he's staying at the same cap percentage in terms of what it was before, if everybody ends up doing that except for Nylander is going to want more of that pie, I don't see, based on what happened with Marner's last negotiation, seems like a pretty hard departure for him to all of a sudden be the one who goes, you know what, I'm going to be the one who changes these things. I'm going to be the one who takes a lower cap percentage. I'm not going to be a guy who breaks the bank. I'll sign the long term. I'll do the thing that's a complete deviation.
Why would he change?
Right,
because all these guys have gotten exactly what they want here. So it's like, why would he get any different?
Exactly. And all I would say to this is like, okay, can we just be realistic that the Leafs giving these guys that cap percentage, and we're talking about Nylander on the lower cap percentage, right? It hasn't worked. It didn't work. They've won one playoff round during this entire thing. So the idea that you would continuously say, hey, you guys are going to either stay at the same cap percentage, or some of you are in fact going to go higher and make it even more difficult to build out this roster that currently has a decor that, yeah, is pretty ugly right now. It's a pretty
scary
blue line. I just don't understand how this continues to work. And so maybe this just shifts the focus into something. Like, sorry, go ahead, Frank. You want to say something there?
No, I was just going to say the one part of the equation that will ultimately change or should change is Tavares' contract expiring.
Yeah.
Which is a big deal. Like, it's not a, in parentheses, small thing. Like, that's a significant chunk of cap that you could then reallocate to better, better balance your roster. And I would say that was really the fatal flaw of the Dubas tenure was it was great to put, you know, sort of the Leafs on the map and hey, we're back and this is a premier destination. And I understand that everyone has enjoyed having John Tavares around and he's still been a productive player, just not really relative to cap. That's where it all went sideways. If you had given out the Nylander, or sorry, the Marner deal and the Matthews deal, and then, you know, Nylander signs for what he signed for after that holdout that the Leafs ended up essentially just capitulating on in anyway, which they should have done in September that year, all those things would be fine if the Tavares deal wasn't on the books.
Yeah, but it is. And here's the other part of this that's kind of tough. So we talked about, I just said you've got 4 years now before Matthews enters his free agency walk year at, you know, age 29, 30. And that one, yes, it counts. Of course, you have control. But I'm just saying, to me, the window of kind of certainty of keeping this player and never examining a trade and knowing where you're at and trying to win around Matthews is going to be the first 3 years of this new contract and including this season right now. Like, I'm just, it could end up being the other one, but I'm saying it's 4 years. Two of those years are with Tavares on the books. So half of the time that you're going to end up having essentially with this guy is Tavares. I know that's kind of weird math that I'm throwing out there, but in terms of your certainty era with Matthews, in my opinion, half of it still has Tavares on the books. And that's part of the reason why it's frustrating that the guy takes a 4 year term is you go, no, you'd love to have those years extend out throughout the, what does it look like after Tavares' era?
See, I know why Leaf fans are upset and frustrated saying 4 years, everyone else is signing for eight. I actually, like, I think term is the biggest detriment that teams put themselves through in signing contracts. And I realize why that's a win for Matthews, because I pointed out yesterday, he's going to have $114 million in career earnings, which puts him, I think, in the top 10.
Yeah,
by the time he's 30. And that's incredibly impressive because you put in perspective, what does that age mean?
Yeah.
Well, that's where Nikita Kucherov has been.
Yeah.
Right. That's where he is right now. And everyone still looks at him as incredibly productive. So it matters. But if you look at it from the Leafs' perspective, they will have bought, he'll be 30 and then turning 31 that September 15th, I think it is.
Yeah, they got his prime.
Or 17th. Yeah, they got the 13 best years of Austin Matthews. Locked up, done. I think the bigger question is, and you talk about certainty and, you know, this window to win, we're coming off of like a really rather pedestrian season for Matthews. And that, I think, is the bigger question than anything is, yes, this guy is, you know, certainly has the ability to go down as one of the greatest goal scorers of all time. He's in incredibly elite company for what he's been able to do to this point. And he's won the Hart Trophy and he's done all these amazing things and he's got a skill and a shot that is so special. But last year he scored 40 goals. And only had 85 points. And yes, the Leafs won a round, but then went out with a whimper again in the second.
Where what? He wasn't producing.
He didn't score.
Yeah.
Well, I think there's question marks to this whole, to this deal on both sides. What does, at the end of this four-year term, are the Leafs going to be in a tough spot wishing they got more years?
Yeah.
But also, at the same time, I think it's fair to ask the question is, given that these guys have all been here and they've been able to make it work money-wise, and they've filled out the roster to the best of their ability, where he's getting the super, superstar payday to the AAV that, you know, he's north of McDavid, north of McKinnon, a record setter on that front, and that's great. But Nathan McKinnon willed his team to a Stanley Cup. Is Austin Matthews, does he, like, that's the one question I have remaining is, the talent is undeniable.
Yeah.
I just want to know if he has the fire.
Bro, that 100%. And I agree with you about term in general, because, but like, when you look at most guys who sign those deals, like Tavares, he was, what, 28 when he got his contract? I'm okay with you, or in fact, I kind of want to have that post-prime of Matthews, the 31, the 32, 33. I don't see a player like that slowing down. But that actually begs the question of, do you think Matthews actually took this number? Like, did his season have anything to do with this? Because, like, the points that you outline, they seem to be completely, you know, irrelevant here when it came to his contract extension. Normally we talk about guys saying, hey, like, they're having a contract year. And I know technically it wasn't his contract year, but had he been coming off of something that was closer to what he had done in the regular season the year before, or a bit better production in the playoffs, how much do you think that would have affected this number?
I don't think it factored in at all.
Yeah.
Because I think the truth is that if he wanted to, he could have asked for 15 or 16 million. And I know that sounds outlandish given what we just said. The truth is someone in one year's time from now would pay that on the open market.
Yeah. So I think you mentioned something there when you were talking, Frank, about the perception of Matthews and in this city. I think it's a fascinating one because his approval rating here has been pretty high. Like, I think he's, you know,
like all, through the roof.
Through the roof. He's always been beloved. I think Marner probably takes a little bit more of the beating than he does.
Marner and Nylander have been his shield.
For sure.
And Tavares and, yeah, everybody.
But I think the PR, and you laid out,
people weren't even asking questions last year. He's on track for like 38 goals for most of the year. And no one said boo. I felt like I was the only guy asking you guys on radio, when are people going to start talking about this?
And you laid out great points about how the cap percentage and all that stuff and how it worked. No, but about how, like, it's not that bad of a contract in terms of it's good for both sides. But I think the PR from this and the stuff I've been gathering from my buddies who are diehard Leaf fans is that, you know, if he has another season like he did last year where we're talking about him having long stretches where he's not as dominant, and there's a lot of times last year where Marner was a much better player for the Leafs than Matthews was, I think the public perception of him in this city is going to start to flip a little bit. I think him having the highest AAV amongst anyone in the league, like, he has to go out there and prove that he deserves to be the highest AAV guy in the year again. He needs to have a more Hart Trophy type year than he did last year, or else I think this city is going to start to flip on him a little bit.
And maybe that 4-year term is a good thing for the Leafs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's kind of what I was getting at is,
yeah,
there are still questions left to be answered. And that's from both sides. Like, it's on the Leafs to also fill out the roster better. And as this cap continues to increase, to utilize that, because let's face it, there's no reinforcements coming. There's no prospects in the pipeline outside of Matthew Knies to write home about. And when are you going to find meaningful ways to increase this team and their chance to win, given the other contract stipulations that we just talked about? So that's part of it. And I think the other part of the discussion that no one really has that's sort of left unsaid, which real diehard Maple Leaf fans should be having the conversation, is how come Austin Matthews scores 61 goals or whatever it is with Mitch Marner on his line, and then last year without Mitch Marner on his line, you see the year that he has? And yes, you know, the hand injury, that may have played a part of it. And to be fair, that's in a parenthesis too. The rest of the term discussion, he hasn't exactly been the healthiest player given some of the ailments that he has. So that's another fair point to raise when talking an 8-year term. Mm. But the idea of Matthews' production relative to time with Marner, I think is something that should be looked at more in depth, because I'm not saying that Matthews isn't a driver. I think he is and can be on his own, but his production is so much better with Marner that I think it's a conversation worth having.
Yeah. Do you think that this is going to have a material impact on the rest of the league's business moving forward? Because I kept thinking, you know who loves Matthews, the agents, they've got to just be thrilled. Because sometimes there was always the story of, hey, when McDavid went back to the table and said, actually, I want to take $1 million off this. And Sidney Crosby obviously famously did this thing. This happens a lot with stars. And here's Matthews where he's going, no, I'm setting the bar higher for cap percentage. I'm setting the bar in a completely unprecedented way for a superstar with the 4 years, basically lopping these things in half. Do you think that there's going to be another tier of players coming up that start to replicate this?
I don't think so.
You don't think so? So we're going to see business as usual?
No, because if we were going to see it,
yeah,
they already did this once. Mm-hmm. Instead of taking the 8-year term, they took 5. And Marner took a shorter term. How come David Pastrnak signed for 8? How come Nathan MacKinnon signed for 8? How come all these other guys that have come up since then all took the max term?
Mm-hmm.
And how come they all took essentially less? Like David Pastrnak now making a couple million bucks less than Austin Matthews and for the next foreseeable future. Like that's kind of the point I made heading into the summer was, I know that they play different positions and I know that Pastrnak hasn't won the Hart Trophy and I know that he doesn't play in Toronto, but on a pure production basis, their numbers are very similar.
Yeah.
And I just have a hard time making the reach from one to the next based on production alone. And I could see a slight bump for the position, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a really compelling argument to be made that Austin Matthews should be right exactly where his 11-6 was and had that continue for the next 5 to 8 years.
There's 100% a case to be made. Would you want Pastrnak for less million dollars or Matthews? Like contracts 100% matter. And $2 million, like we've seen that, what the Leafs last year were something stupid like
that's
$17
right
over the cap. Like, yeah, of course. They're in a crunch right now. Still, they're trying to figure out how exactly they're going to end up getting this thing done, who they're going to have to try to either clear through waivers or what it's going to look like with this roster, because there's another move that's going to have to be made that goes beyond the LTIR guys because they still are over the cap. And yeah, thank God, I guess, for Brandon Pridham and the magic that this guy's been able to work with this team. But yeah, what happens when a guy like that is gone who didn't essentially write the salary cap for this team? So yeah, I think that these things matter. They absolutely need to be addressed. And I think that a lot of people are having these conversations. It's just that social media gets different. And I know that already this is going to happen where it's going to be up on YouTube page and it's going to be up on Twitter. It's going to get clipped. Jobo is going to fire something out of me saying that I don't love the contract and all the Leafs accounts that have some combination of Matthews, Nylander and Marner's name in the Twitter account are going to have something to say about how I'm a negative jerk, but that's fine.
Let's have a real conversation. And this is the truth is this isn't simply distilled. There's a lot of moving parts. The Leafs, I don't think any team in the league was as damaged by the pandemic as the Leafs were.
Yeah. Or the negotiations they had though ahead of it.
Well, that's what I'm saying. They have these negotiations on the idea that the cap is going to continue to increase by 3, 4, or 5 million every single year. Oh, this is now the fourth consecutive season of a flat cap. I mean, who saw this coming?
Sure.
No one. The Leafs would be in a totally different spot now if the cap been in the lower 90s.
Yeah. Listen, Frank, we've heard this from the Dubasites.
I'm just saying these are incredibly nuanced.
Yeah.
Conversations that, you know, can't, this is not, this doesn't fit in 280 characters.
Dude, no doubt about it.
They come through this Matthews extension getting a significant piece of business done,
mm-hmm.
I think with significant questions on both ends, mm-hmm. and a lot to prove on both ends. And maybe that's the way that it should be.
Mm. I'm less concerned about what you're going to say.
Oh, well, I was just going to ask about the timing of it for me, because you obviously saw the clip yesterday, Frank.
Yeah, why not?
Of Friege and Jeff talking to him, and Willie's like, oh, I don't really care. There's no rush or whatever. And then 5 hours later, it's like, Leafs extend, Matthews extend. Like, am I being too sports talk radio to be like, there's no coincidence there? Like, it felt like they're like, all right, this isn't going to get done. Let's just get the Matthews one out there. Like, it's hard to believe it's hard to believe that that's a coincidence.
I think first off, everyone's different. Some people are truly comfortable playing out their deal and in fact would like to see where the chips fall. Other times, like in this case, I would say if I were in Brad Tree Living's chair, I'd want to get Matthews done first before anyone else.
Of course.
Yes.
I think you always get your most expensive ticket item done so that you then have a better and more complete picture of the pie. Mm.
Yeah, I think it was one of the Dubas mistakes was they saw Nylander walk him into the season. And then, yes, was the contract ended up being a good one? Because, again, the cap went up, sure. But it put him in a bind of, hey, I already let one of my guys go into the season without a contract who held out. I've got to capitulate to the other two guys who are the bigger two stars and completely get the thing ass backwards anyway. But yeah, why do you think it happened right now? Like why? Because like McKinnon happened later, right? It was September.
Mm-hmm. It was right before camp, I think.
Yeah, it was right before camp. Sometimes these things do drag out. This is just, yeah, all of a sudden.
I think Tree Living was relentless.
Yeah.
I think they made an enormous push that really wasn't all that talked about to try and get this done in late June. And this was his first order of business. It was like, we got to get this done. We got to get this figured out. And the Matthews camp was just like, oh, hold on a second. We're not doing anything. Mm-hmm. They were sort of, I think they rebuffed them and said, we'll talk later in the summer and we can talk, you know, just prior to camp opening, but we're not rushing to do anything. And it wasn't a money thing. It wasn't a term thing. Like, they had all the leverage here, and they could basically string this along as long as they wanted. They wanted to get more of a sense of a complete picture of where is this thing heading? What was the summer like? Mm-hmm. You saw the moves that Tree Living made to add to the team. And I think he wanted to feel comfortable about what does the rest of the group feel like. It wasn't, I'm asking for $16 million, 4 times 16, and well, I'm going to absolutely put the Leafs over a barrel. It wasn't like that at all. It was just I want to get to know you a little bit. I want to understand what your thinking and thought process is for building this team, and I want to make sure that when I put pen to paper, that this is I have an authentic chance to win, and this contract that I'm signing still allows this team an authentic chance to win.
How do you think Nylander does factor into this?
I think he's due a massive raise.
Yeah, but how do you think this might affect him?
I don't think I'm breaking news.
No. But this, in terms of, like, the guy wants a massive raise. But, yeah, there was always the idea of, hey, he's going to maybe be willing to take less if someone else takes less. Matthews does this contract. He's here for 4 years. Now this is done. Now he becomes the primary focus of the organization, right? Like, now there's nobody else. It's just you. It's just you, Willie. It's just Nylander. He's talking about how, yes, what's the rush? All these different things, but... yeah, ultimately now he becomes the primary focus of this organization, and having Matthews be here for 4 years, you know, beyond the contract, do you think that this has had any impact on his camp? Like, outside of what we already know, which is, yeah, the guy wants a raise.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
I think now the attention is going to shift more towards Nylander from Tree Living's perspective. I think the one fascinating part about not even just from a cap perspective, but going back to what we were saying about Matthews and the lingering question of his fire, That's the most interesting part about the whole dynamic of Nylander is he's the one guy that I don't have any question about. That's part of that core four.
I think that's part of his negotiation right now.
Well, I think part of it is, hey, I've showed up in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I was making way less than these guys. And I've had impressive regular seasons. And you've seen my game continue to grow. What does that translate to in terms of cap hit and AAV? I don't know.
Frank, thanks for all this, buddy.
That's awesome.
We'll talk to you soon, pal.
Have a good one.
See you, brother. There goes Frank Cervelli, the Daily Faceoff.
Awesome. Great chat there.
Yeah, Matthews in 181 career games has 542 points, right?
Oh, my
God. He's been a beast. Playoffs, less than a point a game player so far.
Mm-hmm.
He's basically, yeah, he's played 50 playoff games, got 44 points. It's all right. It's 22 goals. It's all right. It's not, he's won one playoff round. And again, this is where I think it's difficult. You want to have that player. It's a no-brainer. You're getting it done. He obviously had all the leverage, so it's really hard to criticize the Leafs front office here because, yeah, they're working behind. They were already set in this position. The precedent had already been set. It obviously was never going to change into Matthews signs 8 years at the same number as McKinnon or the same cap percentage. Like that, those are pipe dreams. That was not going to happen. But
the question is why? That's the most frustrating.
I think it is a bit of a perfect mix of timing where you got a guy who is from Arizona who is a big fan of other sports, loves the NBA, views himself as an individual brand, is not afraid to put down, I hate saying bet on yourself. I feel like we say it all the time. And I was like, put down a wager that he will be victorious. Yeah.
Wager on his personal self.
It's just, but we gotta entering the new seasons, we gotta get rid of bet on yourself. Especially since Fred left, Fred's gone.
His bet worked.
It worked so great.
He's so rich.
No, he's so rich.
Dude,
Austin Matthews, poor.
He can't hang out with Fred. He's like, he can't afford to go to Fred's places.
He's got
to
go with the rugby players. You going to come over, hey, mate? Hang out with us. We make the same.
Great accent, buddy.
Anyways, where was I at? The difficult part of this is just simply that. This guy hasn't won a lick. He has not proven himself as some type of an incredible playoff performer. And yeah, he's had some injuries. Mm-hmm. And now he gets half the term of some of these other guys at a unprecedented rate, a bigger cap hit than McKinnon got, a guy who won a Stanley Cup and who has essentially accomplished a lot of what Matthews has in the regular season. I know that Matthews, everyone loves to point to the 5-on-5 goal scoring, but then it's like, okay, for sure. And that should 100% be there. And I want to say this too. I'm not as concerned when Frank raised the stuff about, hey, he might still have some stuff to prove in terms of like a regular season goal scorer player or someone that's going to age well. I don't have those concerns with Matthews. I see a huge, lumbering dude whose injuries, I guess the wrist one, maybe if you're going to point to that as being a real reason. I thought that maybe it was a little overstated last year. Mm-hmm. Thought maybe it was just the guy wanted to get to the playoffs and was getting a little sick of the regular season, all this different stuff. But that also lends itself to the fire argument. I think he's going to age well. I would have loved to have had Austin Matthews for a 6-year contract. There's no doubt about it. I would have loved to have Matthews on a 5-year contract. Every one of those extra years to me would have been a win. He's not John Tavares who you were signing for his age 28 season, right? So it's a win. The Leafs have this guy for his prime. Guess what? This is hockey. Like, why are we talking about this way? This is the NHL. Guess who else has all their players that are prime? Everybody.
Yeah, everyone gets
everybody.
They get them for a long time.
Yeah, it's just like there's been one guy essentially or one franchise recently, and that's been Calgary. Mm. Calgary is the one place Calgary and Winnipeg with Pierre-Luc Dubois where he went, I don't like being in Winnipeg.
Well, he cried his way to two places, Dubois.
Yeah, that's for sure. Yeah. And then you've got
Columbus and Winnipeg,
who went, I want out of here. I don't want to be in Calgary anymore. I'm terrified of McDavid. The guy punched my teeth in.
He owns me.
Oh, that Flames team was so good. Yeah. And McDavid he and Draisaitl just body bagged them in a way where it was like, you can never come back here. This is our province now. You've got to leave. Your two guys have to leave. Bring in new guys because it can't be.
Flip it around. More guys.
Churn the earth. Draisaitl's on one leg.
Yeah. Churn the earth. 40 points in 5 games.
Till the soil.
Yeah.
It's something new has to grow here. Because we have, salted what you guys had
they
here.
Had 29 points combined in that season.
Yeah, no, dude, that was.
And was it a 5? It was a 5-game series.
I'm telling you, that is. You know when people do the Shaq and Kobe thing where it's the meme of the two.
That was them.
That's the two sidelines.
And Kyrie and LeBron meme too.
That's it. It's just those two guys, Shaq and Kobe. Mm-hmm. Those guys into oblivion, into having to leave Calgary. Anyway, it's fine, but it almost feels like Stockholm syndrome when people are like, "Yes, Matthews is staying. He was always staying. He was never going to Arizona. Why did people think that he was going to go to the Arizona Coyotes?
I never thought it was the Coyotes.
I always thought
it was the Kings. And then when the Kings signed all that money for Pierre-Luc Dubois, when I was like, okay,
LA and New York are the ones that I just heard the most.
But yeah, but
someone would have given him the money.
Cap is destroyed. They have no money for anyone.
Sure, someone would have figured out a way to pay Matthews. That's not the point. It's not that like sometimes you get pissed about a contract because you go, who were they negotiating against, right? Mm-hmm. Like if you were a Mavericks fan and you signed Kyrie to that contract this offseason, you're going, who was giving Kyrie that money out there? But then you remember it's Kyrie, and he would have just left out of spite and gone and signed somewhere else, and then you would have been left holding the bag with Luka going, oh, sorry, whatever. Oh, wait. So the leverage was that.
Oh, boy.
But that's kind of how the Leafs' leverage is working here. Matthews is going, I'm only doing this. I'm only doing this, and you have to do it. And that's why I think that the other guys are going to do it too. I think Nylander, I've said it before, he has all the leverage. What incentive do the Leafs have?
Buddy, so excited for the full year of the Marner conversation because...
No. Dude, if...
On Kipper and Bourne, it's like he's due for a contract next offseason. Mm-hmm. He's July 1 guy next year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's going to be a fun year.
Except for the thing is about that is it feels more likely than not that Nylander just gets walked into that year and he's actually the walk guy. Well, what I mean is... It's going to come down, like, both of those guys will have conversations about them, mm-hmm. but Nylander's will be impending, and Marner's will be still a year away.
I guess that's fair.
So it's hard for me to envision a scenario.
But you realize who I do a show with, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, buddy. I don't think Marner's will come into as big of a focus. Mm. And if I could offer one piece of advice to Mitch Marner is, dude, you are in the catbird seat to just grab some terrific PR.
Yeah.
If you just were to go into next offseason ahead of time, ink up. And by the way, Marner, how old is Marner?
He was in the, I think he's 25.
I think he's 26.
Okay.
He's 26.
Okay.
It would, here's the thing. It would actually make way more sense for the Leafs to have done the shorter thing with Marner this time around than the longer one, especially considering like he's a smaller guy. I wonder how he'll age. Mm-hmm.
Playoff.
Not a goal scorer.
Imperfections.
Yeah. So it'll be kind of funny because he'll go, I took the 8 years, guys. And I was like, yeah, but he'll be starting at 28, and that's the same age Tavares signed his contract.
He would start that contract at, he would sign it by 27 and then start it at 28, yeah.
Yeah.
Because he would sign it, because his birthday's in May, so he would be 27 by the time he signed the contract.
Okay.
Yeah, signed, but the first year that he actually plays that contract, he'd be 28. He'd be Tavares. So you would be looking at a guy who would have the same. Tavares signed 7 years. So that's probably what Marner will want the eight, baby. Marner's going to want the eight. I can guarantee you that. People go, look, JD, people do want to play here. I'm like, yeah, for sure. He's going to want the 8 years. So I don't think his will be different. It'll be funny to see if the Leafs go, hey, we actually want to have you on the Matthews deal. Those ones, that's basically got flipped. Matthews should have been on the one that Marner wants, and Marner should be on the one that Matthews wants.
So do you have time for your Nylander thing about the video?
I was going to play it and yell during it.
Okay.
Play it, Austin. How much time?
It's
Let's
long.
Take a quick break, and I'll come back, and I'm going to play those, and then I'm going to yell.
Okay.
Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
All right. Sammy, the king of Pakduko.
Thank you.
Pakduku? Doku.
I
know.
Pakduku.
I know. I was going to say, you always say Duko, and I get it wrong. Yeah. Okay. William Nylander was on 32 Thoughts. And
play
the clips, and I'm going to talk over top of it as we do.
Well, look, right now...
Right away, I hate it.
I'm just getting ready for the season, and my agent and Brad can do whatever talking they want to do to try to get a contract done. Obviously, there's no other place I want to play at.
Yeah,
so.
No, I definitely do.
So mine's only in Toronto.
Really love it.
Is any part of you concerned that this won't work out?
That's for a later day in after next season. So I'm not worried about that right now. Like, this is where I want to be at, and I'm just focusing right now and getting ready to have the best year of my career and helping the team to reach our goal that we all want to achieve. So that's for another day for me to focus on, because I still have one more year left, and that's the place I want to be at. So there's lots of time to get something done.
And I'll ask one more. Was there any point at all this summer
can't even take it anymore.
Where you thought you were going to be traded?
Not really. I didn't think so. I was
okay. So that's enough, because it's just like, you get the idea. Okay. So I basically spent the last two seasons fighting the uncles, going, uncles,
wind it up.
Yo,
wind
I was
it
like,
up.
Uncles, you need to chill out. You guys got to go chill.
And uncles were right.
No, you guys got to go chill out. Look at this guy. He's proven all the uncles wrong. He's the guy in the playoffs that just shows up and does it. And I know that people go, man, he's just cool. He's just chill. He's unflappable. And I'm going, man, if you really want to be here, right? And they, but later, but in the, by the way, they go like, why do you want to be in Toronto? I think Merrick asks him that. He's like, why, what is it about Toronto? Yeah. And first of all, he starts off by talking about like the staff. Oh. No, he's like, yeah, the equipment manager is here and the facilities are nice. They give you everything you want. And then he's like, oh yeah, and the fans and my life is here. And I went, okay.
They give you everything they want should be the number one thing.
If you really want to be here and if you really care about being here, and I mean this, and people will say, oh, this is... no, you should know about what the fan base is like. This is an original six franchise. It's the biggest market in all of hockey. It's the number one place. Montreal, they care just as passionately. You can talk about there's more people in New York, whatever. No, this is the spot. This is the place. It's here in Montreal where you are a deity if you win. There's two places, right? That's why it's like, hey, Kyle Dubas, he could go win 8 Stanley Cups in Pittsburgh. It won't mean as much as a conference finals here in Toronto, period. Mm-hmm. Will not. Will not matter. Will not be remembered the same way. They'll be like, what are the Steelers doing? Kenny Pickett threw some passes at practice that were nice? Sick. Bigger than the Penguins.
God, that Najee Harris ain't looking so hot.
Exactly. 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 Okay? Here, it's this. This runs through, yes, a very deep, 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 profound group of fans that have been tortured for a very long time who care a lot about this organization. And for William Nylander to be like, oh, it's my agent. Oh.
I know.
Ah!
I know.
Ah! Why? Why? Why even do the interview? Why?
What's the rush?
And just what's the rush? Laughing it off. Acting as though everybody else is taking crazy pills, that it's you that's the sane one. I just don't understand how people can take that stuff. And so, no, you can't do things out of spite. And I would be the worst GM ever because I'd watch that interview and I'd be like, hey, today, what is the best offer?
Yeah,
today, hey, who's got it? This is like a car. I need to get this off of my driveway. Today or best OPO, slap it up. Park, take a peek. Don't sight unseen, no safety. Just you go.
Worst video of the offseason. Marner Gritty or this interview?
No, this by far. A billion miles. I don't care about the Marner Gritty thing. People are like, hey, look, the young guy danced in the way that young guys dance. And I go, yeah, I see that. That's fine. I don't care.
Right, okay.
No, that actually is the old man in the chair thing. Sometimes you have to grab yourself as you start to age and go, hey, I'm just being an old jerk. Who cares? That's what they do. That's what they do. That's what the youths are doing. They're dancing the gritty.
Yeah.
You know,
Jobo,
he gritties. You can definitely floss.
You can gritty.
Oh yeah,
I can. Yeah, you can. Yeah, see, he always got to do it. He's like, I can do it.
No, he just said it was like a physical reaction.
It's okay, Jobo. You can do it. It's fine. It's fine. Our only move growing up as guys was bob your head lightly to music. That was our only, and some of us learned how to swing dance in like grade 7, and we retained a couple of those moves.
For a while.
Yeah, it was hot. And so a couple of us retained that where we get really drunk at weddings and bust out a couple of those moves. That's all we got.
Now.
We're not the millennials, the geriatric millennials. We never learned any dance moves. So anyway, I hate it. I hate the lack of awareness. And I hate to say this too, but remember when he was drafted and everyone went, his dad, when he was in contract negotiations, he was the worst guy to deal with ever. And you go, oh, that apple sure didn't fall too far from the tree. That prediction was the number one prediction of all. That's the old takes exposed correct.
Yes.
You know, exposed to be.
Whoever had that take was a savant.
Bang on. Anyway, subscribe to the podcast. I'm going to jump on Vancouver radio now. So go listen to Halford and Brough. And then, leave 5 stars. I'm off tomorrow. I'm actually off Monday and Tuesday. Sammy and I are taking our moms to the Blue Jays game. We're having
Mom's night.
We're going to be doing some stuff. Yeah, but I'll be back on Wednesday. See you then.